You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I want you to look, if you would, in Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 46. Now, we're going to run fast today, so stay with me. I'm going to advance, tell Dana, when you do the video at the end, Dana, when we're ready for that, when it gets to the end, that's going to be kind of like a prelim that first time. You're going to run it a second time. So as soon as it gets done the first time, we're going to crank it back up, okay? So it'll run twice at the end of the service. The altar call is going to be given in just a few minutes. And when we get to the altar call, I will tell you right now, there's going to be a video up. And what I really want you to do, I mean, you may come down to the altar during the video, but if you want to just absorb it and see it and hear it, that's fine. But then we're still going to give an altar call. And it's going to be for people that need to stand by the Lord, or people that need the Lord to stand by them. And I would just say this to you right now, prophetically, God is with you. God is with you. But if you don't recognize it, you won't take what's available for you. So I'm just praying that scales come off our eyes. I'm praying that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I can see the presence and the anointing of God in my life. So we're going to deal with that. And this is where I started. It was in Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. And it had to do with Bartimaeus. How many of y'all remember the story of Bartimaeus? Write down this verse and just keep it as a sidebar. And it is Psalm chapter 43 and verse number 1. And electronically, if you can, you don't have to do it this morning, but you can find the New Life Translation. Not New Living. Listen, New Life Translation. And if you can find that, I would love for you to read that verse of Psalm 43, 1. As a matter of fact, you hang on to Bartimaeus. Let me read this to you, Psalm 43, 1. This is the New Life Translation. Stand by me, O God. This is David speaking. Stand by me, O God. Look, you don't need God afar off. You don't need him off in heaven. You don't need him somewhere. You don't need him at somebody else's house because they're a better Christian. You need him standing by you. So here's what he said. Stand by me, O God, and speak in my favor against the sinful nation and save me from lying sinful men. You are the God of my strength. Now that's going to be repeated again by Paul in the New Testament, because at least twice he said someone stood by him. Someone was with him. But look, this is where this thing took off. It's verse 46. They came to Jericho. As they went out of Jericho, they came in, they left. No notable miracles took place. And it says he went out of Jericho, and his disciples and a great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the road begging. Y'all know the story, right? You know that Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So you notice it's redundant in your Bible. It says son of Timaeus, right? Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So it says son of Timaeus. And it repeats it twice. You got to ask yourself a question, why? The reason why is because the emphasis is not on son of, it's on Timaeus. Timaeus means one that is condemned or cursed. One that is condemned or cursed. One that is not in the favor of the Lord. One that is a spiritual outcast. Y'all still with me? Can you imagine your name is named spiritual outcast? Or your name is named cursed one? And it was mentioned twice about him. And there are folks sitting in here that are born again. I mean, you've been baptized. You got everything working in your way. But yet you still feel the condemnation of your past. And the Bible said his name was Bartimaeus. And then it said he was blind. I'm just going to say this. We already knew he was blind. It says, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, and he's at the road. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that Jesus was coming by, Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David. In other words, he was crying out to him in his covenant name, son of David. Listen, not just Jesus that can save me, Jesus that can save me, Jesus that can heal me, Jesus that can, he did all of the Jehovah's. Jehovah Jireh, you will provide, Jesus, son of David. You're Jehovah Rapha, you can heal me, Jesus, son of David. You are Jehovah Makedesh, you are my sanctification, Jesus, son of David. You understand what I'm saying? You are Jehovah Shammah, Jesus, son of David, God that is with me. So he saw him in the light of who he was in the kingdom. And another thing that happened in this story, Jesus says, the Bible says that Jesus stops. If you keep reading, he stops. And then he says, tell him to come to me. I want you to just pay attention right along there. If you cry out to God, he will stop for you. And I want to say something else to you. If you read that real clear, it didn't say that anybody got healed in Jericho. It said he went in and he came out. And another thing about Jericho, it's the lowest inhabited place in the world, over 800 feet below sea level. So I'm going to say this. This dude was blind. He was double cursed in the lowest place he's ever been. But Jesus came by. But Jesus came by. And listen to me. It's not good enough to come up here into church and sing a few songs and hear a little preaching and go out and say, boy, we had a good service today. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in this room today. And one of the problems we have at church, this church and every other church, is we come up in here, we gather together, we say he's going to be here, but we don't do anything about it. We know he's here, but we don't call on him for anything. I'm going to say this to you. I believe Jesus gets real bored in most of our churches. He's got to come because the Bible says if any two or three gather together in my name, I got to be there. But I don't have to be excited. I got to be there because you're doing this thing. I'm showing up. But I'm going to say this. I believe in a lot of churches and a lot of services, Jesus standing around like this. He's leaning up. He's got angels hanging out, probably playing cards. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but nobody is doing anything of the supernatural. He said that Jesus is coming by and I need some help. I'm in my lowest spot. Jesus stops and says, bring him to me. This is where I got this revelation that God gave me because I said, God, I've already preached that. Everybody knows it. What am I going to do? There won't be anything fresh on it. And he said, well, I'll give you a revelation on it. And the revelation was stand by me. He said the key to this wasn't just that the guy called on me. It was that I stopped and said, come to me. Listen what he said. Jesus said proximity, standing by me, is where you're going to have the anointing. Proximity, getting close to me, is where you're going to get a deliverance. Proximity, standing by me, is where you stay delivered. So you don't want to amen me right now, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, it said they were two blind men here. So Mark only requests to say that there was one. So then you got to ask yourself the question, who was right? I think Matthew was right. I think there were two. But I'm going to say this to you. This one got called to him and went to him, but that's not all he did. Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus said, not without me. If you're going, I'm going with you. I know there's something about proximity. When I was sitting over there, I wouldn't get healed. But when I got up in your presence, these things fell off of me. I'm a free man. I'm a healed man. But to stay that way, I need to stay with you. So your Bible says Bartimaeus went with him. I believe that there were two blind men. I believe they both got healed. But I believe one of them followed Jesus, and we don't know where that other one is. But I'm going to say this to you. If you're going to stay delivered, you got to stay with him. You got to stay committed to him. You can't be coming in, getting you a healing, getting you a deliverance, and then go do your thing. I'm preaching better than you, amen, and I know that. There was another man called a demoniac. He's also in this same gospel. He's over in the fifth chapter of this gospel. If you begin to read it, the very first verse there, it talks about Jesus going to the land of the Gadarenes. And he gets out of the boat. And now here's what your Bible says. It says in the very first verse, it says when he got out of the boat, immediately a guy was there falling at his feet worshiping him. Now, when you think that, you think, well, he was there waiting on Jesus to get there. You know, that's not what happened. If you read the rest of the story is not what it says. Here's what the Bible says. It said there was a man immediately that fell at his feet, and he had an unclean spirit. It goes on to say nobody could get him delivered. They tried to chain him up, and he'd break a chain. They tried to shackle him. He'd bust the shackles loose. The Bible said he lived in the tombs, and like a lot of people that are mentally disturbed and emotionally distraught, he was cutting himself. See, we think kids cutting themselves today and adults cutting themselves today is a new phenomenon. No, it's not. It's been in the Bible. It's been in here. This man was in there cutting himself. These demons don't want you whole. They don't want you delivered. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he was naked. I don't know if y'all know where pornography comes from. If it's demon possessed, it can't keep its clothes on. I'm going to tell some of you men something, get real plain with you. You think you're born again, but you keep going out and trying to shack up with somebody, and you always walking in lust. I'm going to tell you something else. That same demon won't let you keep your pants up. That man was naked. He is cutting himself. He was demon possessed. But here's what the Bible says. It says he didn't just wait for Jesus there. Your Bible said he was a long way off. Your Bible says, and from afar he saw that Jesus was coming. He was a long way from that boat. He was a long way from the shore, but he saw Jesus coming. He had heard something about him, and your Bible says he started running to him. He had to get close to him, because if I can get where he is, I can be delivered. If I can come to where he is, if I can stand by him, I can be made free. That man asked him a question. He said, Jesus, son of David, what do we have in common? That demon speaking out of him. Jesus' response to that is, this man's in common with me. You're not, you're a demon. You're coming out, you can go to pigs, I don't care where you go, but you're coming out of him. But I've got a connection with the man. There is a connection. What do we have in common? We both born of the same seed. We both are born into the flesh. We both have the same temptation. But I am the Son of God. I am the Word of God. We got something in common. I'm free and I can set him free. I'm delivered. I can deliver him. I'm just saying, Jesus saw the commonality. But I want you to get this. Even a demon-housed guy knew he needed to get close to Jesus. Proximity brings deliverance. This man said, I want to follow you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to say this to you. He didn't follow him, but listen to him. I will follow you, Jesus. And Jesus, your Bible said, commanded him to go back to Decapolis, the five cities. Now, watch this. His heart was, I'm going with you. His ministry was, go back and tell somebody. So I'm just saying this. It wasn't that he said, I'm not going to follow you. He was begging to go with him. But Jesus said, I got something better than that. You're going to go back to Decapolis. He went back. Your Bible says this. Your Bible says he went back and started witnessing to everybody. And when Jesus goes back to that area, your Bible says the boat comes up and there's not one demonized man running at him. The Bible said that there are throngs of people. There are multitudes of people. Where'd they come from? They weren't there the first time. Can I tell you something? There was a demonized man that got himself delivered that wanted to stay close to Jesus, that had a testimony that would bring people to Christ. In that same chapter, there's a woman who has an issue of blood. Let me say it the way without hurting your feelings. You ain't going to get your stuff a long way from Jesus. I don't care who you use for an example, you ain't got Bible for it. Well, I'm going to deal with the centurion's son. I'll be a servant. We'll be okay. I will deal with the Syrophoenician's daughter demon. I'll take care of her. But let's get these other ones first. This woman said, I tell you what, I can't get my healing. I've been trying to get healing at the house, and I can't get it. I tried to get it at EAMC, and they ain't got the medicine for me. I've tried everything. They airlifted me to Johns Hopkins, and I can't get anything there. I just don't know what I'm going to do. But Jesus coming by, and the Bible says clearly, she heard about him and heard about his miracles, and she said, I know something. If I could get in proximity, if I could just get close to him, if I could get to stand by him, I just know I'd be set free. You put too much emphasis on touching clothes and somebody touching you. You need to get an idea that it's getting close to Jesus. Now, if it's touching clothes, I get it. If it's anointing with oil, I'm okay with that. But I can't want to be anointed with oil outside of wanting to get close to Jesus. My goal has got to be my healing is not in your hands. It's not in your oil. It is in Jesus. You may anoint me. You may pray for me. But it is Jesus that raises them up. Let me just help you guys that are already mad because you think you don't have to be close to him. And you're going to tell me, how about that centurion servant? Because that centurion didn't even go to Jesus. He sent somebody to Jesus. And he stayed at home with his sick servant. You're right. But proximity isn't always physical. I got Jesus right up in here, y'all. I don't have to have the physical because Jesus said it is far better for me to go than to stay because if I stay, I can only be to one of you at a time in the physical. But if I go, the Holy Ghost will come back and he will be with you everywhere you go. You got to read Mark 16 when you get to the end of that. It says, and they went forward. Those 11 guys went out healing and delivering people. And your Bible says, and Jesus went with them. Wait just a minute. Jesus went back to the Father. But the Bible said he went with them. Proximity can be in the spirit. So here's what this centurion said. I like this. His proximity was in authority. Here's what he said. He said, I'm under an umbrella of authority, so I understand telling people to go and do. Here's what I know. Stand up, babe. Stand up, babe. Hurry. Hit me. So the centurion said, I'm under this umbrella of authority, so I know how to do it. And here's what he said, and I know you are under the umbrella of authority. Can you see something? I know in distance they were apart, but in their thought of authority, they're standing together. Jesus said, I'm just like you, Jesus. I got authority because I'm under this, and I know you got it, so we're together on this thing. Therefore, all you got to do is send your word. My servant gets healed because we're together under authority. I'm helping some of y'all would-be leaders. You better remember it ain't your authority. You're under authority with him. He provides for us the awning. There's one more girl you need to know about. She's that Syrophoenician, which means Greek. They should have just said Greek. But she's a Syrophoenician. They want to get her something I couldn't spell, right? Thank God for spell check. So she's a Syrophoenician. She's a Greek woman. And the Bible says she came to Jesus. She said, my daughter got a devil. And I know you deliver people from devils. I want my daughter set free. He said, baby, I do it, but I'm here for the house of Israel. And you're a Moabite, you're a Greek. See, you Naomi's house going to get something right here. Naomi's home. He said, you're a Greek and I can't come to you. You're not acceptable. So I'm going to go to the acceptable, but not to you. And she said, I know one thing. You are the bread. And he said, yeah, but only the kids come to the table to eat the bread. She said, I know that. But she said, even the dogs, even the outcasts can get something from your table. He said this. He said, I hadn't seen a Christian running around with that kind of faith. I hadn't seen a tongue talk with that kind of faith. I've not seen anybody in Israel got faith like that woman right there. He said, I've got to heal your daughter. It was proximity. She made up her mind. I may be an outcast to everybody, and the church may not want to touch me, but I've got a Lord that loves me, and I am acceptable in his sight, and I have favor with him. Ruth is in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. And Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus. But baby, she was a Moabitess. She was an outcast. She was unacceptable. How did she get over there in the lineage of Jesus? Because a woman called Naomi, a woman that was in the kingdom, said, if you go with me, you go to Israel, but you need to go back. And she said this. She said, I'm staying in proximity. Where you go, I'm going to go. And you're got to be my God. Naomi's home is a place where the Moabites can come and get in the lineage of the Son of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, just quick, Paul is writing to Timothy. I don't know, I believe all of us have been here at some time, but look in 2 Timothy. If you get a chance to write it down, look it up in your electronic device. Chapter 4 says this. It says, verse number 10, this is Paul preaching, writing to Timothy. He said, For Demas has forsaken me. I'm not going to argue with you, once saved, always saved. I'm not going to play that game of getting with you and us having an apologetic over once saved, always saved. Let me just go to the Bible. For Demas was with me. Now Demas has forsaken me. Our director said, just like Wayman said, Director Wayman this morning said this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, he has departed. He forsook me. He was with me. He was preaching with me. He was a part of the miracle band with me, but he's left because of the world. I'm going to say this. If you want the glory of God, you want the presence of God and the anointing of God, you got to stay in proximity. You got to stand there. He goes on and tells the guys that had to leave him, for ministry. And he says this, and we're going to move over to verse number 17 real quick, but here's what he said. He said, there's only one more with me. His name is Luke. Luke the doctor was Paul's best friend, personal physician. But according to Scripture, he traveled with Paul. He wrote Acts out of the eyes and actions of Paul. So he was with him and rehearsed. Listen to me. He rehearsed to Paul what Jesus did. I mean, he was with Jesus. So Luke is over. Luke is working this thing out. So he's dealing with them and talking with him and dealing with old Paul. And as he was dealing with Paul on there, the Bible says this, and Paul speaking, verse 16, he said, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Now, wait just a minute. Your best friend was with you. Not when I got in trouble. How many of us have had good friends we love and love them today, but when we were in a tight, they just couldn't stand with us. We got in a bad situation, and they couldn't be there with us. Not that they didn't love us, for whatever reason, they couldn't be with us. And that's the way Luke was, because he continues to travel with Luke. But here's what he says. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. In other words, I'm not blaming them. I understand where I was going and what I was doing. I'm not blaming them. But even my best friends couldn't stand with me. I like verse 17. It starts off with the conjunction but. The conjunction but means what I just said is not the correct answer here. What I just said is totally negated because I'm about to say something real. I just told you that nobody was with me. I told you my best friends could not stand. I told you I didn't blame them, but God stood by me. I was in that place, but God was with me. The Lord came, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I'm trying to help you this morning. You may be in a hard place where people you think ought to help you can't, but you don't quit because they can't. See, some of you guys in here from Gateway, y'all think I'm preaching to New Birth and to Naomi's home, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm preaching a bunch of y'all sitting up in here because you answer that one right there. You get your panties in a wad because somebody doesn't take care of you, doesn't support you, don't. I preach on this side. I'm okay over here. I'm all right over here. That Christian sitting up in this church, they sit right up in this house, and they get mad and get hurt. We got to beg them and pet them and call them back in and try to get people together, and they got their feelings hurt. Why don't we get over getting our feelings hurt every once in a while and make up our mind, I'm going to serve God. I'll be there on every Sunday. I don't care what the rest of them do. Love you. Glad to see you. Ain't got to be you. Acts 27:3, the word of God says Paul was in the belly of a boat and there was a storm. Storm been brewing for 14 days. They hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. On the third day, they threw off all the tackle and everything out of the ship, and the boat was still taking on water. On the 14th day, Paul is down in the belly of the boat. And he said something very unusual, because he came up and said, boys, let's eat. And they looked at him like he was nuts. They said, dude, we're going under. We've been fasting 14 days, you telling us to eat? He said, yeah, but while I was down in the belly of this sinking boat, the angel of the Lord stood by me and told me that everybody's going to be all right. We're in a storm, and the storm's not going to quit, but we're going to make it through it. Oh, see, right now, see, some of y'all wanting the storm to stop. My question to you is, what if it doesn't? You better get in the proximity. You better get somebody to stand by you, because if that storm doesn't stop, you got to make up your mind you're going through the storm because somebody's with you. Some ought to write a song about that. Daniel was in the lion's den. What's your Bible say? Old King Dyer said, Daniel, Daniel, how you doing next morning? Because he was in a hungry den of lions, according to Bible. And Daniel said back up to him, he said, everything's all right, King Darius, because tonight, while I was in here, the angel of the Lord came, and he stood by me, and he held the mouths of the lions shut, and they couldn't even eat me. Your Bible says they brought him out and threw the accusers in there, and they got, listen, your Bible says before they hit the ground, the lions ate them. What the Bible says. So it wasn't that they lost their appetite. It was that there was a mouth-closing angel. There was one that can close the mouth of the lions. And I'm helping you more than you, amen, because some of y'all got some lions against you. And I'm telling you, there is an angel of God that will stand by you to close the mouth of the lions. There are fireproofing angels. They're fireproofing angels. Three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, seven times hotter than it's ever been. It's so hot the guys opened the gate, got burned to death. These three boys get shut up in there, and the word of God says while they're in there, there was a proximity that happened. There was a fireproofing that went on. I'm going to help you right now. You may be in a furnace. It may be people against you. It may be at your job. It may be finances. It could be family, but you're in the fire right now. Here's my promise to you. There is somebody that will stand with you in the middle of the fiery furnace and fireproof you. Fireproof you. They're word-sharing angels. They're shut-up angels, just won't let people talk. They're prophecy-changing angels, because the Bible said Balaam was trying to curse the children of Israel, but every time he opened his mouth to curse them, he gave a blessing. I believe there's somebody, you stand by them, they'll change something. And he got too close to an angel. Even his donkey got to talking. They're jailbreak angels. See, some of y'all think you got out of jail because you're going to go to a Christian ministry. Look here. You got out of jail because God loves you. You got out of jail because there's a jailbreak angel that will show up when someone's in trouble and get them to a place they can get some help. It's in proximity. It's in proximity. Amen. Well, everybody left on Paul except the Lord. And I've got one more thing I want to share with you. Now, we don't play it just yet, but y'all remember the drifters. How many of we got 60s music-loving folk in here besides me? I know some of y'all may not get to listen to secular music. That's okay. I'm happy for you. But I get to listen to some 60s music, just saying. It's my age. It's all that gray in my beard. So I'm listening to 60s music, and God is impressing me with its proximity. It's standing by me. Mike, if you will just stand by me on Sunday morning, don't worry about them. You stand by me and I will anoint you. If you just won't leave me, if you'll stay close to me, he says this, if you'll draw near unto me, I'll draw near unto you. It's an equal thing of drawing near. It's not one wanting the other. It's both in tandem saying, I want to stand by you. And as Jesus said, I want to stand by you. So he gave me that standby. B.E. King, who was Ben Nelson, but Ben King was with the Drifters. And in 1960, he wrote this song, Stand By Me. He brought it to the Drifters, and they said, we don't like it. The dumbest move they ever made. He pulls out and puts it on a single, and you know what happened. Then they start singing it. Of course they do. But it took off. I mean, everybody from, you know, John Lennon on through has sung that song. As a matter of fact, they made a movie about it not too many years ago, Stand By Me. So that song is just it is one of those things. But I began to look at that, and I got to thinking, Stand By Me, Stand By Me. Why does that? Why? Listen to me. That's such a good song. It has no cussing in it. It has no innuendos in it. Where'd that come from? Now, I'm not telling you it's gospel. But let me tell you something about it. There's a part in there that says, and even when the mountains come down and crash into the sea. Do y'all know where he read that from? Psalm chapter 46, verses 2 and 3. As a matter of fact, that song was birthed out of gospel music. It was birthed out of the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying it's the Word of God. Understand, it's secular music. All of y'all that don't like it, you can cross your eyes. I get it. All right. Here's all I'm saying. God can take a Nebuchadnezzar and make him protect Daniel. He can take a Cyrus and make him buy the wood for the temple. And he can take a secular song if somebody will let him and show you something. B.E. King, Ben King wrote that song. He wrote it out of Psalms 46. And he also wrote it from a man called Charles Tindley. How many of y'all know Charles Tindley? He's dead. Charles Tindley was born in 1857 to slave parents. African-American gentleman. At age 17, he was so driven, he taught himself to read and to write. He went to school at night and worked as a janitor during the day. And he took divinity courses by mail. He graduated from high school. He graduated from School of Divinity, and he got his first pastorate. Well, I just go ahead and tell you this. He was a janitor at Calvary Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia. Can I just say, and by the way, he was born to slaves in Maryland. So you guys from Mississippi, take a break. He was a janitor for years at Calvary Methodist Episcopal Church. His first pastorate when he got his degree was to be the lead pastor, senior pastor at Calvary Methodist Episcopal Church. He cleaned it for years, and then he led that thing for years. In the process, he wrote music. As a matter of fact, he's called not the father, but one of the fathers of gospel music. He wrote a song that might sound familiar to you called Stand By Me. I'll just go ahead and say this to you. This man wrote another song called I'll Overcome Someday. How many's heard a rendition of that in the 60s? They didn't just drum that up. Somebody had already been down that road. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but Tindley knew about persecution. And he wrote that song. I'm just saying, he died in 1933. In 1905, he wrote Stand By Me. Before we play it for you, can I give you the four areas of it? Storms, tribulation, faults and failures, persecution, and old age. I'm going to. Storms of life. He starts the song, when storms of life are raging, stand by me. When storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship on the sea, thou who rulest the wind and the water, stand by me. In tribulation, he said, in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail, my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In faults and failures, in the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. Under persecution, he says, in the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foe in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, I'm glad he put that verse in there. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. I'm going to play something for you, and you can sit and hear it. I want you to get this in your mind. The only way you're going to stay free is standing close to him. This is two ways. I'm asking him to stand by me in my stuff. But he's asking me to stand by him in my stuff. Because my stuff ain't going to change unless he steps in it. And I'm not going to have his stuff unless I step in it. I want what he has to offer. I want the anointing of God. I want my deliverance. I want my salvation. I want you to sit here right now. We're going to dim these lights. We're going to play this video. And I just want you to allow through a secular song the Holy Ghost to help you.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you.
Well,
you to stand.
Thank you.
In just a moment, we're going to play this again. I know what it is. But I'm going to tell you what it tells me. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. It doesn't matter what you got on. It doesn't matter what your hairstyle is. It doesn't matter what language you're speaking. You're going to have Jesus stand by you. No matter where you are, no matter what kind of clothes you wear, no matter how your hairstyle is, no matter what language you speak, you're going to need to stand by him.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.